Srina Sringa, Jaina Sringa, Jai Jaina Sringa, Pradhesha, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Bringa. Shringa, Jaina Shringa, Jai Jaina Shringa, Paladadesha, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Bringa. Srina Sringa, Jaya Sringa, Jaya Jaya Sringa, Paladadesha, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Bringa. Srina Sringa, Jaya Sringa, Jaya Jaya Sringa, Pradhesha, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Bringa. Srina Sringa, Jaya Sringa, Jaya Jaya Sringa, Pradhesha, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Bringa. Srina Sringa, Jaya Sringa, Jaya Jaya Sringa, Pradhesha, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Bringa. Srina Sringa, Jaya Sringa, Jaya Jaya Sringa, Pradhesha, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Bringa. Pradhesha, Jaya Padma. Srina Sringa, Jaya Sringa, Jaya Jaya Sringa. Pradhesha, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Bringa. Nrisinga, Jaya Nrisinga, Jaya Jaya Nrisinga, Prahlada Desha, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Bringa. Nrisinga, Jaya Nrisinga, Jaya Jaya Nrisinga, Prahlada Desha, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Bringa. Nrisinga, Jaya Nrisinga, Jaya Jaya Nrisinga, Prahlada Desha, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Bringa. Nrisinga, Jaya Nrisinga, Jaya Jaya Nrisinga, Prahlada Desha, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Bringa. Nrisinga, Jaya Nrisinga, Jaya Jaya Nrisinga, Prahlada Desha, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Bringa. Nrisinga, Jaya Nrisinga, Jaya Jaya Nrisinga, Prahlada Desha, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Bringa. Nrisinga, Jaya Nrisinga, Jaya Jaya Nrisinga, Prahlada Desha, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Bringa. Jayam Shabam Sabadavajakataya Sisi Mari Jivakti Vedanta Sangarajal Prabhaki Jayam Shabam Sabadavajakataya Sisi Mari Sedanta Sajitakos Prabhaki Gaur Premanandi. The message of Godhead at his Asura Kula, his school for training future demons. Because Prahlad is born in the dynasty of demons, and naturally his father, the most powerful demon, Hiranyakashipu, wanted that his son would follow in his footsteps. So he was very concerned about the education of his son. He wanted his son to learn all the materialistic arts, politics, divide and conquer, economics, exploitation, diplomacy, colonization, all these things which the father thought were essential for his son's well-being. Meanwhile, what is the son doing? Prahlad Maharaj is at school teaching Krishna consciousness to the other children as soon as there's a break. And the students began to take very seriously his instruction. That's the effect of purity. When we're following the regulative principles of devotion, then our preaching has effect. Purity makes an imprint on people. Not simply that we say, well, this is what we believe, but there's a great gap between what we believe and how we behave. Now, when the behavior is there and proper, then the purity affects people. And Prahlad Maharaj's preaching certainly was effective. The result was that his fellow students didn't want to hear from their materialistic teachers anymore. They actually rejected the materialistic instructions of their teachers, Sunda and Amarka. And they took Prahlad Maharaj's instructions very seriously. When the demoniac teachers, Sunda and Amarka, observed this, they observed the effects of Krishna consciousness. All these students are becoming advanced in bhakti. They were afraid because they were servants of Hiranyakashipu, who's the king of the demons. So they were fearful for their lives. They're brahmanas by trade, but they're not Vaishnavas. They did not understand the conclusion of the Vedas. They were simply caught up in Vedic rituals for the sake of material prosperity. Therefore, they were servants of Hiranyakashipu. They approached him to tell him the situation. The whole community of students was becoming Krishna conscious. The students were becoming fixed. Their intelligence was becoming fixed in the conclusion that Krishna consciousness is the only object in human life. Some people become afraid of that. Sometimes even those trying to practice Krishna consciousness become afraid of that. Oh no, Krishna consciousness is becoming my only object in life. That fear, as we always point out, comes from lack of knowledge about Krishna. Thinking Krishna is some ordinary person who, if you give too much power to Krishna, he'll abuse it. You know the political saying, absolute power corrupts absolutely. So if Krishna is the absolute Godhead, we've got to be careful. Just like you have to be careful of a political leader with too much power. It's like in the recent elections in South Africa, the ruling party, the ANC, got something like between 60% and 70% of the vote. So the opposing parties are saying, well, even if they haven't done anything wrong, it's a dangerous situation for a party to be that popular, have that much power. So just to balance things out, you should vote for someone else. That's what they're saying. Then there'll be real democracy. Vote for us, and we'll balance things out. Then you'll have real democracy. So people are always afraid of absolute power. It's like sometimes I get letters from, a few times I get letters from devotees. I don't know if I can do everything you say. I don't know if I can handle that you have absolute control over my life. I said, oh, really? I do. They have this conception of, that the guru is like Hitler, and they don't understand that everything in Krishna consciousness is voluntary, and that if you understand you're sick, you want to be treated by a doctor. How many of you have gone to a doctor and said, I just can't stand the fact that you're prescribing me medicine and my life is in your hands? Now you expect the doctor to do his medical thing to get you well. But the doctor can't force you to take the medicine. Of course, it is true that when you take initiation, you are promising to be a proper patient, proper student. Nevertheless, you can't be forced. The guru is not going to live your life for you. It is your responsibility to take the instructions and apply them. Also, it's a fact that sometimes when disciples are in a tight spot, then they ask, what should I do? But when everything's going their way or going according to their plans, never ask. Anyway, people are afraid of absolute power because they feel that automatically will mean exploitation. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Therefore, watch out for Krishna. Too much Krishna could be a liability in your life. That psychological fear is there. But by regular hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, all these inauspicious things in the heart are destroyed. Nashta prayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. That's the advantage of Bhagavat Seva. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, that means serving the Bhagavatam and serving the devotee who's dedicated to Srimad Bhagavatam. In that way, all these unwanted, unnecessary complexities and neuroses will be eradicated. Fear of Krishna. What should we actually be afraid of? We should be afraid of Maya, the illusory energy. But that's all right. Yeah, we understand Maya, right? We're acquainted well. That's the feeling you get. You notice? Krishna? Ooh, you got to be a little jittery about Krishna. He's unknown and inconceivable. You never know what he's going to do. Maya? You pretty much know where Maya's at. So this is our problem. Lack of trust in Krishna and trusting Krishna's illusory energy. And actually, what is the story of the material world? Daivyesha gunamaye mamamayadra. The material energy is exercising absolute power over the conditioned souls, but they don't protest. No one protests that. They take it as normal, natural. People even become defensive. We're in the real world. What about you guys? We're under the absolute grip of Maya. You guys aren't. So, the teachers, the pseudo-brahmanas, they approach Hiranyakashipu, the emperor, and with his shrewd mind, his materially shrewd mind, he sized up the situation and then became extremely angry. How angry was he? His whole body trembled. Have you ever been that angry that your whole body shakes? Huh? Really? About what? Really? So you, some of you have been so angry your whole body shakes? Really? You have all? No. Just think about it. That's really angry. Not only was Hiranyakashipu's whole body shaking in anger at his own 5-year-old son, but he began to hiss like a snake that had been trampled upon by someone's foot. So now you add that. Make your whole body shake with anger, then hiss like a snake that's been stepped on. Try it. Come on, come on. It was a good try, she is. Who could do it better? Martin, could you do it? Make your whole body shake and then hiss like a snake. Yeah, that's real. More, and then one thing more. You got to stare with crooked eyes. You're so angry your eyes are crooked. Can you do that? Shake and then make your eyes crooked and then hiss like a snake? All right, you'd be a good Hiranyakashipu. So what was Prahlad Maharaj doing? Prahlad Maharaj was just standing before his demoniac father with folded hands. Very peaceful, gentle, his senses under control. Obviously, Prahlad's age and behavior did not merit such chastisement. But Hiranyakashipu began to rebuke him with very severe words. And of course, by his mistreatment of his son, who was a great devotee, Hiranyakashipu was ruining his own opulence, his own longevity of life. So what did Hiranyakashipu say to Prahlad as Prahlad was standing there gently with his palms folded? Oh, most impudent, most unintelligent, disruptor of the family, oh, lowest of mankind, you have violated my power to rule you, and therefore you are an obstinate fool. Today I shall send you to the place of Yamaraj. What does that mean? Today I'm going to kill you. Saying that to his own son. He's envious of the influence of his own son. Actually, by calling Prahlad Maharaj Mandatma, oh stupid fool, indirectly, he's recognizing Prahlad Maharaj as the leader of the Mandas, all the slow, impudent people of Kali Yuga. Prahlad Maharaj is actually their leader. Because in Kali Yuga, everyone is slow about spiritual advancement, right? Got better things to do. You have to push on your life, fulfill yourself, your plans for your mind, your senses, which all belong to you. You're the proprietor of your mind and senses. This makes spiritual advancement in Kali Yuga very slow. And Prahlad Maharaj is the leader of such persons. You see, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, yada yada yadharmasya glanir bhavati bharat. Whenever and wherever there's a decline in dharma, the Lord comes. By that, the Lord not simply means that he comes, but also his devotee comes. That's also. So when Krishna is not present during times of spiritual imbalance, then the devotee is present. Sometimes the Lord sends to this world great devotees simply for the purpose of their inspiring bhakti. What else does Hiranyakashipu say to his son? My son Prahlad, you rascal. You know that when I am angry, all the planets of the three worlds tremble, along with their chief rulers. By whose power has a rascal like you become so impudent that you appear fearless and overstep my power to rule you? This is a very important question Hiranyakashipu is asking. But he's not asking in an inquiring way. He's asking in a vengeful, envious way. Kimbala, where do you get your strength from? That's actually a question that leads to enlightenment when properly uttered. But he's not looking for enlightenment. He's envious. How dare you violate my power to rule you? How would you like someone to say that to you? Kendra, how dare you violate my power to rule you? No one likes that. How have you become so fearless? Don't you know? When I'm angry, all the planets of the worlds tremble along with their rulers. Have you ever said that to anybody in your karmic life? Don't you know how powerful I am? Do you know who I am? You ever come face to face with someone that angry? Do you know who I am? Yeah? Never? Yes? They say like that? Do you know who I am? I encountered in my young days on Sankirtan someone very angry. At that time we were, I don't think you have them here in New Zealand. I think we discussed this before, the drive-in movies. But you know what they are from seeing them in the movies, right? So we used to do Sankirtan at drive-in movies, you know. Yeah, 11 p.m. at night. We wouldn't even pay to get in. We'd, you know, climb the fence. Yeah, with our book bags. And you know, all the cars are parked in rows. So we would just, each devotee would take a row of cars and we would, you know, yeah. Come up in the darkness and knock on the window. People would and they would roll down the window and we would, for, you know, drop a Krishna book in through the window and say, the management here, you know, wants everyone to have one. And, you know, give a donation, you know, for... And so it was very effective, you know, because the people were so shocked, you know. Especially, you know, quite often, you know, they were... in compromised positions. That was half the reason people went to these drive-ins. Yeah. So I remember once I knocked on the window. And, I mean, it was dark, so, you know, it wasn't that disturbing for the brahmacharis. You really couldn't see what was going on, you know. So I knocked on the window, and evidently there was some couple in the back seat. And so I kind of went away. And then as I was going to other cars, the guy came out of the car after me, you know, and he just confronted me, like, with his face close to mine. Do you know what you've just done? Do you know what you've just done? Like, I guess I interrupted him at a critical moment. Like, do you realize what you've just done? Like, I could just see in his face, you know, that probably he had been planning, you know, this conquest for quite some time, and then right at the critical moment, I'd probably given the girl jitters, you know, and ruined his night, you know. So, he's like, do you know what you've just done? And then he finally just grabbed me by the shoulders and threw me on the ground. Of course, that's just a tiny, tiny particle of Hiranyakashipu's anger. But Hiranyakashipu, you can see that same spirit. Do you know who I am? I'm the ruler. When I'm angry, everyone is afraid, even the rulers of the planets. And then he said, Kimbala, where do you get the strength from? How dare you stand up to me? Now, Prahlad actually responds to the question with transcendental knowledge, because it is a question that, when properly uttered, will lead to enlightenment. Prahlad Maharaj replies, my dear king, the source of my strength, of which you are asking, is also the source of yours. Indeed, the original source of all kinds of strength is one. He is not only your strength or mine, but the only strength for everyone. Without him, no one can get any strength. Whether moving or not moving, superior or inferior, everyone, including Lord Brahma, is controlled by the strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the last thing Hiranyakashipu wants to hear, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Prahlad Maharaj is fearlessly presenting him with Bhagavad Dharma, knowledge of the absolute truth. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport a very interesting thing, that understanding the subordinate position of the living entity actually takes millions of births. Now just think about that in terms of yourself. How many births in this world do you think you've had? Do you think you've just appeared in this world recently, in the material world? Just think about it. Millions of births. And certainly, they weren't all human. A lifetime as a fly, how long does that last? A lifetime as an ant, as a microbe. So it's very easy to have millions of births. You can see so many insects take birth at night and are dead by the following night. It takes millions of births to understand your subordination to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam janmanamante gyanavam mam prapanyante. After many births and deaths of trying to figure out this cosmic manifestation, finally you accept Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sadurabha. Krishna is the source of everything. This sense of subordination to Krishna is what you see missing everywhere. That's what was missing in your life. But bhakti brings about that feeling that I'm dependent on Krishna. I'm subordinate to Krishna. When you start practicing Krishna consciousness properly, you lose your sense of being Lord of the world. I'm me. This world was meant for me. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. The world will satisfy my senses. Bhakti eradicates that misconception. And indeed, you feel the luxury of being subordinate to the Supreme Lord. That is what Bhakti Yoga is about. The luxury of being subordinate to Krishna. Normally, no one likes to be subordinate. They think that's a very unfortunate position. Ladies don't like to be subordinate to men. Men don't like to be subordinate to ladies. No one likes to be subordinate to the government, to an employer, to anyone, unless you're properly compensated. And then you'll, all right, yeah, what do you want? If the men are properly compensated with sense gratification, they'll be subordinate to the ladies. It's like those billboards, the Yeah Right billboards that are always everywhere, you know? That's the latest one. Sure, I love going shopping with you. Yeah, right. So, if a man's compensated with sense gratification, okay, yeah, whatever you say. Oh, really? Oh, yeah, right. That's how you feel. The lady's properly compensated with her version of sense gratification, which is generally things, you know. Then everyone is like that in material life. Upon being compensated, they'll agree to be subordinate. That's why people work. They don't like work, but they're being compensated for being subordinate. Of course, successful corporations are always trying to instill a company spirit in the people. You sacrifice for the company. Do they do that at your job? What do they tell you? Five symptoms of surrender. Huh? What are they? You don't remember? And you're always supposed to be thinking of the company's welfare, right? Now, if we ask for that in Krishna consciousness, oh, well, that's culty. The National Bank asks for it. Oh, that's very nice. So Prahlad Maharaj very eloquently explains to Hiranyakashipu that all the strength is coming from Krishna. He explains how the Supreme Personality of God is the best of all living entities, the Supreme Controller, the Time Factor. And then he asks his father, please give up your demoniac mentality. Do not discriminate in your heart between friends and enemies. Make your mind equipoised toward everyone, except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind. There is no enemy within this world. Often as you spend more time in Krishna consciousness, you realize it is your own mind that's causing all the problems. The uncontrolled mind ruins everything. So how can that mind be tamed? Only through devotional service. Otherwise, not possible. You seek peace for your mind in material pursuits, but it won't happen. one of our devotees who used to be here in Wellington. He's, well, he's trying to achieve something in the material world, and his sadhana has slacked off, and you know, he's getting a lot of the material things he wanted. But you know, he told me, I have no peace. I just have no peace. I've got no peace. I said, what do you expect? That is the nature of Maya. That even if you get all the things that you want, you'll never get peace. So this was frustrating him. He had so many things, but I don't have any peace. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying here, except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind, there's no enemy within this world. That's a good point to remember, especially when dealing with devotees, because sometimes it's inconvenient living with, you know, persons, serving Krishna together. Sometimes there's naturally going to be a little misunderstanding. And you think, everyone's against me. They don't appreciate me. They're trying to put me down. But just remember what Prahlad Maharaj here says. Except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind, there is no enemy within this world. Now Prahlad Maharaj is getting a bit firm with his father. In former times, there were many fools like you who did not conquer the six enemies. You know, lust, anger, greed, madness, envy, illusion. Now Hiranyakashipu is really getting angry. You rascal. You are trying to minimize my value. You ever felt like that? Isn't it a very infuriating thing when someone tries to minimize your value? Doesn't that get you angry? Doesn't it? Because you know you have value. You know you have abilities. You know that you have worth. You hate it when someone minimizes your value. Someone just comes up and says, Triyuga, you're nothing! You're a zero! As I say in Australia, you're a daydreaming no-hoper! Just, right? What do you mean? I'm creative, I'm handsome, I'm full of energy, I'm artistic, I've got a wonderful personality, magnetic personality. How can you say this? Right? It hates to be minimized, have your value minimized. You know you have value. Everyone wants to feel like, yeah, I'm good value. So Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, oh, he can't tolerate this. His own 5-year-old son minimizing him. You're trying to minimize my value as if you were better than me at controlling the senses. This is over-intelligent. I can therefore understand that you desire to die at my hands, for this kind of nonsensical talk is indulged in by those about to die. Of course, by Hiranyakashipu talking like this, he's expediting his good fortune, because by his threatening of Prahlad, he's bringing about the appearance of Lord Nrisimhadeva. Therefore, The Shastra says, Sri Hiranyakashipu, the blessed Hiranyakashipu. Why is Hiranyakashipu blessed? Because he has such a son as Prahlad, who's going to, for whose sake Hiranyakashipu will be killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is good fortune. Therefore, he's called Sri Hiranyakashipu. Upon being killed by Lord Nrisingadev, Hiranyakashipu will go back to Godhead. So therefore, Sri. Now Hiranyakashipu in his, he's going into his last phase of existence. He's continuing to actually speak philosophically, but in a very arrogant, furious manner. O most unfortunate Prahlad. Why is Prahlad considered by him to be most unfortunate? He's thinking, Prahlad, you're my son. You could have inherited all my property, the whole universe. But you're such a fool. You blew it, Prahlad. I was going to leave you everything in my will. All the three worlds could have been yours. But you have chosen to worship Vishnu. Therefore, unfortunate. Just think, if your father owned so much property in Wellington, but you angered your father and he cut you out of the will, you would feel unfortunate. But Hiranyakashipu controlled the whole universe. That's how powerful he was. Of course, people today consider that to be mythological. Who could be so powerful to control the whole universe? Because, as I always point out, in Kali Yuga, leaders are so impotent and weak, they can't even control the village. So they think, oh, this is all Bhagavatam mythology. Someone controlling the whole universe. Impossible. Of course, from the Bhagavatam point of view, who could ever conceive that people become so weak and impotent? You can just imagine the Vedic sages hearing about Kali Yuga people and thinking, oh, that's got to be mythological. How can people be so puny and weak? A man can't even take care of one wife? It's one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga. Daksham Kutumba Bharanam, Shukadeva Goswami says in the 12th canto. If a man can take care of one wife and a couple of kids, he's considered daksha, expert. The most routine thing now is like such a big thing. Right? When we see happy, stable, Krishna-conscious couples, and we're very impressed. Oh, this is wonderful, because it's rare these days that there's marriage responsibility. Such an ordinary thing now is such a rarity. We shouldn't think it's mythology that Prahlad was to inherit the whole universe. Now you can understand the depths of Hiranyakashipu's anger. Unfortunate Prahlad. You could have had this. What's more, you always have described a supreme being other than me. A supreme being who is above everything, who is the controller of everyone, and who is all pervading. But here's the catch. This is what Hiranyakashipu thought was the deciding point. You talked about the supreme being, but where is he? This is scientific. You're talking about something that everyone knows our senses have never perceived. Therefore, you are a complete fool. Hiranyakashipu was taking that standpoint of Western science. You're talking about God, but where is he? I don't see him. Therefore, he doesn't exist. This is the Western scientific challenge. With our puny, imperfect, distorted senses, if we don't see something, That means it doesn't exist. Rather than think, if I want to perceive God, I must qualify myself. That is the proper understanding. Therefore, we're trying to motivate people to develop the qualifications for perceiving God. We're not trying to motivate people to believe in God. That's nursery school kid stuff. We're trying to motivate them to become qualified to perceive God. People go to the university to get a qualification. It's like you thought you'll be an architect, get the qualification, right? And then after 4 years in school, then 3 years to be a certified architect, right? You're going to be qualified. Design buildings, right? You can walk by them and say, I did that. But first you had to be qualified, right? You understood that. But if we say, do you want to perceive God? Well, where is he? That would be your response. Where is he? No. Well, I need qualification. How many people have you met who've told you, I want to perceive God, so I'm going to have to become qualified. Now, everyone has the arrogance of Hiranyakashipu. Okay, you Krishnas, you talk about God. Where is he? Everything is readily apparent to your senses. I mean, you know, I can do so many things right now with my senses. I can go to clubs. I can dance. I can, you know, can act gross in any kind of way. But, you know, but where's God? If I have a can of beer in my hand, it's right there. I can feel it in my hand. Now, a huge technological breakthrough has just happened that will benefit the whole world. Scientists have designed a self-chilling beer can. The great breakthrough. The world will never be the same. So that's how people think. I've got this can of beer in my hand. I can feel it. It's real. But where is God? This is demoniac. Why? The desire to see God without qualification is demoniac. Then we have to think about that because we might think, oh, that's a bit severe. Let's suppose I, without knowing you, just demanded, I want to hear everything about you, all your secrets. You would be quite offended. Just like at Julia's birthday part during the slideshow, the multimedia slideshow. Suppose someone didn't know you, just walked in the room there and, who's this? I want to know everything. What's your name? Julia? Tell me everything about your past. All the details. Come on, let's hear it all. Don't hide anything. Someone just walked off the street and said that. What'd you do when you were a teenager? Where, when, with who? Come on, come on. Let's hear it all. Right now. Come on, come on, come on. Quick, quick, quick. You'd be very offended. Because this just shows complete lack of class, lack of proper personal etiquette. First you establish a relationship with someone. And then you might voluntarily agree to share yourself, knowledge of yourself. We can understand that, but why can't we understand that it is demoniac to want to perceive Krishna without qualification? Think about it, and you'll gain some insight. We don't want Hiranyakashipu's problem, this arrogance. Where is he? In other words, my senses are not perceiving him, therefore he doesn't exist. Meanwhile, what is Prahlad doing? Prahlad, while Hiranyakashipu is roaring, where is he? You've always talked about someone more powerful than me. Where is he? Prahlad's looking, and he sees Lord Nrsingadev peeking out from the pillar. Lord Nrsingadev is reassuring Prahlad. Yes, yes, I'm here. I'll be coming out any moment now. This is Krishna always reassuring to his devotees. Don't worry, I am here. He wants to see me. He'll see me soon. He's going to have a good darshan. So this is the high point of Hiranyakashipu's challenge. Where is your God? Well, Prahlad replies, he's everywhere. So then Hiranyakashipu makes a brilliant scientific deduction. Oh, you say he's everywhere. What about this pillar right here? Why is he not in the pillar? Come on. Come on, explain it. Come on, be scientific. You fool, it's quite obvious. You say he's everywhere. I'm just pointing to a pillar right here. Is he there? Anyone can see he's not. Is he? Come on, come on. Pass your science exam. Is he there? And Prahlad saw him. He's there. Hiranyakashipu couldn't see him, though. So then, what was Hiranyakashipu's scientific conclusion? Brilliant deduction. We didn't see him. Therefore, because you are speaking so much nonsense, what needs to happen? I shall now sever your head from your body. And when I do that, let me see your most worshipful Lord come and save you. I want to see that. In other words, you say there's a God, but we never see this God. Now, when I cut off your head, let your worshipable Deva come and save you. Maybe we'll see that. In other words, Hiranyakashipu is saying, because we can't see God, we're also not going to see your God come and save you. Therefore, I'm going to freely cut off your head, and there'll be no problem. Remember, he's talking to his own 5-year-old boy. You wonder, how could someone do like that? But out of envy of Krishna, all these things are possible. People want to be the center of attraction, the center of attention. And they can react very angrily when, instead of there being the center of attraction and attention, Krishna is recognized as the center of attraction and attention. So others can get very angry about that. Fathers can become very angry. Why is my daughter just saying Krishna, Krishna? Husbands can get angry. Why is my wife so devoted to Krishna? Wives can become angry. Why is my husband doing devotional service so much? That means I want to feel that I'm the center. All the attention should be on me, and people get angry. Now we're in the final moments of Hiranyakashipu before the fight starts. Being obsessed with anger, Hiranyakashipu, who was very great in bodily strength, thus chastised his exalted devotee son Prahlad with harsh words, cursing him again and again. Hiranyakashipu took up his sword, got up from his royal throne, and with great anger struck his fist against the column. This is how berserk he went with anti-Krishna rage. You say he's in the column? Well, he's not there. We can all see he's not there. Therefore, just so tired of this nonsense talk from you. Before I kill you, I'll just smash this pillar with my fist. You ever been that angry? You just smash something with your hand? Anyone ever done that? Really? What did you get angry at?
I think mom, she's right.
What's that?
She
got drunk and punched the wall.
Yeah, because she was drinking and then she told me that.
She's punched the wall. Did you hurt your hand?
Yeah.
Well, it's good that you feel outrage. She was your girlfriend or just a friend? Yes. This is life in the jungle of material existence. It's frustration. You couldn't do anything about it, so you just punched a wall, huh? And ended up just hurting yourself. Anything else? You punched a wall also, Glenn?
Your car smashed the wall.
Huh? What's that?
Smashed cars and crashed litter boxes. All like that.
Crashed cars, just out of anger?
Kicked cars.
Other people's cars. Put dents in them?
Yeah.
Why, you're mad at the whole world?
Myself.
You're mad at yourself, so you kick somebody else's car. This is Kali Yuga. And what else? To their letterboxes?
Destroy things, bus stops, people's houses.
People's houses? What would you do?
Break the furniture.
Huh?
Throw bottles at their houses. Those horrible things. Destructive, ignorant behavior.
Anyone else? Ladies, you ever get so angry you hit something? Or ladies, don't do that. You throw, oh, that's right, ladies, who's thrown something? Who's done that? Really? When?
My teacher at school, I'm getting 100% of my first exam. Because she was trying to get me to
in school. I mean, what did you do? Walked away. But did you throw something?
Yeah. I was quite angry.
What did you do?
Slammed the door.
Slammed the door. Sure, you showed a version of anger. You know, come on, who's thrown something? Seva Kunji, you've thrown something? What happened?
My husband and I were hammering once, and he kind of was pushing me beyond my limit, and I picked up the ball to see if I could control him.
You picked up a bowl of what? Soup mix. Was it liquid?
No.
Powder. You threw the whole bowl at him? What did you do? No.
No, it was just weird. Just kind of a little bit of, she was bossing around too much. I didn't like it. So I started bossing her back. And then she didn't like it because she was in the kitchen, and I'm not supposed to boss around in the kitchen. So I just stay out in the kitchen. That's how I deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
We were catering, so I had to be in the kitchen. and she was bossing me around too much. And something was just not right, and then the psychology wasn't good, and she just tried to in the whole ordeal by throwing quite a large bowl of soup.
So how did you react? Did you just...
I didn't know what to think.
I know. Men know how to handle that kind of thing. It's like, woo!
Yeah, so I think we started chanting, actually.
You did.
I think we both did. That's like, well, you know, we sort of... And I think I took a walk, or she took a walk and cooled down and then came back. We were like, well, they're wanting to eat in about an hour, so either we're going to do this, or we're going to just, like, quit and we'll get in our car and drive off. And so which do you want to do? You know, so we better do it. And then people just started chanting and chopping up vegetables. And sort of, and we said, tonight we're going to discuss all this, so just think, you know, what how we could have done it better. And it all worked out. We just started chanting, I think, Krishna gave us inspiration, kind of. Learn from the whole situation and not have it. I don't think we've ever had anything like that happen since then. So we just took it as an opportunity to actually develop our relationship.
You're definitely practicing austerities.
I was quite pushy.
To be a good grihastha man, you have to be tolerant. Anyone else? You threw something, Chris?
Yeah, I thought my boyfriend
said dishes. Threw
dishes at her?
With him there? Oh. Threw dishes at the wall and broke them? How many? And you broke them. Just. What did he do? Anyone else who's thrown things? What about in Indian families? Do they do such things?
Yeah, I think it's a bit worse than that.
Oh, really? Like, what can be worse than that?
Huh? I think there's some violence sometimes. Yeah.
Between who?
Yeah, I've been in my...
They just pound each other?
Probably a few slaps maybe.
By the man. Yeah, the ladies don't do that in Indian families. They just have to take it. Eh? They have their own ways of getting back. So, this is what happens when material desires are frustrated. You get angry, you strike out. You strike out at something. That's what Hiranyakashipu is doing. He's got the biggest problem and the biggest anger. He's sick of this God stuff coming from his own son. He's had it. His son is converting the whole Asura Kula to become devotees. His son is even preaching to him. It's too much. He's had it. His son is talking about a God that no one can see. Therefore, Hiranyakashipu feels quite justified. I'm going to cut off your head. First, let me smash this pillar. You say there's God? Well, I know he's not there, but anyway, I'll just smash this pillar. I'm so angry. Then I'm going to kill you. What happened when he smashed the pillar with his fist? Then from within the pillar came a fearful sound, which appeared to crack the covering of the universe. Oh, my dear Yudhisthira, because this is Narada Muni talking to Yudhisthira, this sound reached even the abodes of the demigods, like Lord Brahma. And when the demigods heard it, they thought, oh, now our planets are being destroyed. This is very important. First, the Lord appears as sound. Just like when you chant the Hare Krishna mantra. The Padma Purana explains, Atat Sri Krishna Nam Adi. First comes the holy name, Nam Adi, and then Adi, everything else is added. Form, qualities, pastimes. So first, Lord Nrisimha appears as sound. And Hiranyakashipu hears that sound, which he's never heard before. All the demons were afraid. None of them could find out the origin of the sound. So first, the supreme ruling presence of the Lord was experienced as sound. Just like, I don't know, have they ever had severe thunderstorms here in Wellington? Where you hear really loud thunder, crack. This happens sometimes? It is a little frightening, isn't it? Out of the clear it comes. Well, that gives you some small insight into the sound of Lord Nrisimha's appearance. A sound so great it appeared to crack the universe. Try to hear that kind of sound. To prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial, in other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, exhibited a wonderful form never seen before. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. Just by the Lord's sound incarnation, Hiranyakashipu was defeated. Now the Lord has appeared. And that appearance, even before the fight begins, has defeated Hiranyakashipu. You all know the benedictions that Lord Brahma gave to Hiranyakashipu. Therefore, Hiranyakashipu felt so safe. He actually felt he was undefeatable. He'd never die. He thought that. Therefore, when scientists give people the impression that one day science will stop old age, stop death, this is demoniac. So, Hiranyakashipu really felt nothing can defeat him. I've got the benedictions of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, remember, told him in answer to Hiranyakashipu's request, I can't make you immortal. Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead can do that. So Hiranyakashipu thought, all right, you can't directly give me immortality, but I am so smart, I'll get it out of you anyway. Grant me the benediction that I'll not be killed by any man. Grant me the benediction I'll not be killed by any animal or any other kind of creature. Grant me the benediction I can't be killed in the day or in the night. Grant me the benediction I can't be killed inside or outside. Grant me the benediction I can't be killed by any weapons. Grant me the benediction I can't be killed on the land or in the sky. You got a whole list. And each time Brahma said, granted, so be it. You have my benediction. When Hiranyakashipu got to the end of his list, he was ecstatic in demoniac bhava, asura bhava. I've done it! I've done it! I'm immortal! No one can kill me! He thought he had actually tricked Brahma. So by the appearance of Nrsingadev, that signals defeat for Hiranyakashipu. Even before the fight started. Lord Nrsingadev, everything he's going to do, his very appearance, is outside of the range of Lord Brahma's benedictions. Hiranyakashipu thought he had the whole scene sewed up. I can't be killed in all these different ways. The obvious conclusion is, by philosophical deduction and logic, I am immortal. But just by looking at Nrsingadev, you see the end of Hiranyakashipu. Because Nrsingadev is neither animal nor man. He's Nrikeshari, half man, half lion. While Hiranyakashipu looked all around to find the source of the sound, that wonderful form of the Lord, which could not be ascertained to be either a man or a lion, emerged from the pillar. In amazement, Hiranyakashipu wondered, what is this creature that is half man and half lion? The Lord was showing him, I'm outside of all logic and reason. I'm outside of all limitation. My potencies are inconceivable. Hiranyakashipu studied the form of the Lord, trying to decide who the form of Nrsingadev standing before him was. So let's also study the form of the Lord. You can look at the picture as we describe. So you can study. The Lord's form was extremely fearsome because of his angry eyes, which resembled molten gold. His shining mane, which expanded the dimensions of his fearful face. His deadly teeth and his razor-sharp tongue, which moved about like a dueling sword. His ears were erect and motionless, and his nostrils and gaping mouth appeared like caves of a mountain. His jaws parted fearfully, and his entire body touched the sky. His neck was very short, and his thick chest broad. His waist thin, and the hairs on his body as white as the rays of the moon. His arms, which resembled flanks of soldiers, spread in all directions as he killed the demons, rogues, and atheists with his conch shell, disc, club, lotus, and other natural weapons. Still, Hiranyakashipu had confidence. That's what it takes to be a success in the material. Confidence. Struggle to obtain your illusory success. Have a good self-esteem. Right? Doesn't that solve everyone's problems in material life? To have good self-esteem? Good self-esteem so you can engage nicely in the sense gratificatory process. Hiranyakashipu murmured to himself, Lord Vishnu, who possesses great mystic power, has made this plan to kill me. But what is the use of such an attempt? Who can fight with me? Thinking like this and taking up his club, Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord like an elephant. So in this way, the battle started. Why a battle? Just for Krishna's fun in his incarnation as Nrsingadev. This is his pastime, having a little sporting fight with Hiranyakashipu rather than killing him immediately. Okay. So we'll leave it there until tonight. Because Lord Nrsingadev appears at dusk. Remember, The Lord is outside of all mundane logic and reason and sense perception, and he's proving that to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu couldn't be killed by any man or animal. So Lord Srinadeva appears as half man, half lion. Hiranyakashipu couldn't be killed in the day or the night. So Lord Srinadeva is going to kill him at twilight, in between day and night. Hiranyakashipu couldn't be killed in the land, on the land or in the sky. So Lord Srinadeva is going to put him on his lap and rip him apart. His lap is neither land nor sky. Hiranyakashipu couldn't be killed by any weapon. So Lord Srinadeva is going to kill him with his nails. Hiranyakashipu couldn't be killed by anything that was living or dead. Any weapon, instrument that was living or dead. So the nails are neither dead nor alive. So that's why. Another reason why Lord Srinadeva is going to use his nails. They're not a weapon, nor are they an instrument that's living or dead. What else? Inside or outside. Hiranyakashipu couldn't be killed inside or outside. Lord Srinadeva will kill him on the threshold in a doorway. So in this way, you see the achincha, the inconceivable potencies of the Supreme Lord, who killed Hiranyakashipu while keeping all of Lord Brahma's benedictions intact. Just imagine the emotional state of Hiranyakashipu when, after the fight, Lord Srinadeva captures him and puts him on his lap. Hiranyakashipu is just writhing. He's just moving all his limbs, his arms and legs. You can't try to understand what's going on in his mind. I can't be killed. What's going on? How can this happen? He had complete faith in Brahma's benedictions. And he was right to have complete faith in Brahma's benedictions. Therefore, his mind was just blown. Just think about that. Someone who thinks they're completely safe and now they're about to die. He's on the Srinadeva's lap. Just look at the picture there. Can you imagine laying on someone's lap and then some creature, ferocious creature, is going to, with his nails, rip open your stomach? And then pull out your intestines. This is art. This is the art of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not just ordinary killing, but very artistic killing. Lord Srinadeva is going to rip open his stomach, pull out the intestines, and then do what? Garland himself with Hiranyakashipu's intestines. And with the sprinkled drops of blood on his hair, Lord Srinadeva will look even more beautiful. We always like to explain Lord Srinadeva is the perfect horror movie. Beauty and horror. Everything is there in Krishna. Sweet romance, wonderful friendship, but also the perfect horror movie. People get entertained by horror movies. They go to see them, they pay money. Why pay money to see a horror movie? Listen about Lord Srinadeva, and you'll go back to Godhead. Any of you paid to go to a horror movie before? Why? You wanted to feel the pleasure of being frightened, right? You remember any that when horror movies are really good, you scream out? Did any of you ever do that in the middle of the movie theater? Huh? Ah! Did anyone do that? You did, yeah, I figured. You just got so caught up in it, right? You screamed, right?
I wasn't a horror movie.
The scary part of a normal movie. And you just screamed in the middle of the theater. Did everyone look at you? Anyone else do that? Actually, you enjoy being scared. It's an emotional release because actually you know that nothing's going to happen to you. So you just get caught up in the movie's drama. But Krishna also enjoys horror. My point is, why do we deny Krishna the personal variegatedness that we ourselves want? We'll pay money to go to a horror movie, but when the Supreme Lord appears as Nisringade, that's mythology. You see? This is bogusness. If you show your parents this picture and say, this is God, this is whom we worship, ooh, boy, you better come home right now. But if you tell your parents, I'm paying, can I have some money to go see Godzilla? Oh, sure, sure, be happy. Yeah, you've seen Godzilla? Yeah. In Korea, they don't go to the movies? Yes. Right? Any? You paid money to see Godzilla? Anyone here? No one did? No, a new one came out a few years ago. Yeah. You've seen it, right, Glenn? Yeah, I knew there was one. They made a new super version to, you know, try to produce more rasa. That's okay. Everyone understands that. But when they look at Lord Nisringade, oh, it's, you know, this mythology. It can't be true. Lord Nisringadeva is the demon's worst dream. And Nisringadeva kills Hiranyakashipu with such perfect artistry that even the drops of blood from Hiranyakashipu, that they decorate the hairs of Nisringadeva. They make him look even more beautiful. That's how God is all perfect in everything. So then what will the Lord do? After garlanding himself with the intestines of Hiranyakashipu, he's then going to rip out Hiranyakashipu's heart. And then toss Hiranyakashipu aside like a piece of garbage. There is Hiranyakashipu. Intestines ripped out, heart ripped out, and then just tossed out like rubbish. The former controller of the universe. And then all of Hiranyakashipu's leaders are going to attack Nisringadeva, giving him further enjoyment. And he just kills them with his fingertips. He's sitting on Hiranyakashipu's throne, actually letting you know, Hiranyakashipu is my devotee. I don't mind sitting on his seat. Because in the spiritual world, Hiranyakashipu was Jai Vijay, gatekeeper in Vaikuntha. So after killing Hiranyakashipu and all the demoniac soldiers, the Lord is just going to be roaring. And the demigods are afraid to approach him. They can't calm him down. They can't pacify him. So, Brahma's there, Indra's there, Lakshmi's there. No one can pacify Lord Nrisimhadeva. finally, Brahma says to little Prahlad, Prahlad, it's all because of you that Mishring has appeared. You please go forward and calm him down. We can't do it. It's on you. So little Prahlad goes and pays his prostrated obeisances. And Lord Nrsimhadev puts his paw on his head. And Prahlad begins to recite such wonderful prayers. So I hope that you'll today increase your feeling for Lord Nrsimhadev's pastimes. Not think they're so impossible to understand. No, for devotees, their reward is the understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any questions? So if you went back to Korea and showed your parents, this is who I'm worshiping, they but you have to understand the science of God. It's not something that consists of our ordinary sentiments and understandings. Lord Nrsimhadev is an expansion of Krishna, an incarnation. Devotees of the Lord relish Lord Nrsimhadev's pastimes because they show how Krishna will go to any lengths to protect his devotee. This verse we were chanting comes from Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Lord Chaitanya entered the temple of Nrsimha during his tour of South India, he would ecstatically chant this verse. Sri Nrsimha, Jaya Nrsimha, Jaya Jaya Nrsimha. Prahlada Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa. All glories to Lord Nrsimha. He is the controller of Prahlad, Prahlada Desha. Jaya Padma, all glories to Lakshmi Devi, who's always Nrsimhadev is like the bee, the bringa, that's always gazing into the lotus face of Lakshmi Devi, the Mukha Padma of Lakshmi Devi. Very poetic. The bringa, the bee, always absorbed in the lotus-like face of Lakshmi Devi. Yes.
What does that represent?
Represent?
Yeah. I've always just wondered what they mean, or why there's a hundred snakes around the shrine. Is that just how it was formed?
That's part of the entourage. Part of the artistry.
Perfection.
Artistic expression. Just think if you were sitting on a chair and behind you were snakes, you know? Be kind of cool, huh? Yeah? You have this entourage of snakes behind you who are just looking out at everyone with their hoods, and you were just sitting there. Would it be kind of cool? Yeah, okay. So Krishna is the most cool. Very artistic. You couldn't imagine such things. Yes. The strength to carry Krishna's instructions comes from Balaram. Balaram is the original spiritual master. So by following the orders of the guru, you get the strength to carry Krishna's instructions. Otherwise it can seem difficult. How can I do this? But if you follow the instructions, it's possible. Follow the instructions of the guru gives you the strength to approach Krishna. On our own, though, we're very weak. We need spiritual strength. Yes? Protecting their spiritual life. You can't protect the body. Sooner or later, the body is going to, you know, drop. But when he says, my devotee will never be vanquished, kaunteya bhakti jahanihi name bhakta pranashati, he's talking about your spiritual existence. Sooner or later, the body is going to have its demise. Even the body of Prahlad Maharaj. So devotees often confuse material protection for spiritual protection. This world is not a very nice place. Don't blame that on Krishna. You wanted to come here. It's a very horrible place. But illusion, by lust, we think, oh, I'm going to enjoy here. Yes, isn't it natural? You think like that? I'm going to have a nice time here in this world. I'll be fulfilled. Everything will be nice. If you study history, you'll see again and again, again and again, nothing but horrors. Would you have wanted to be in Korea, say, 60 years ago? During World War II? No, get me out of here. Or, by karmic arrangement, you could have been born on the northern side of the DMZ. Then how would your life be? There's a slight change in geographic location and you're in hell. You've ever been to the DMZ? I have. I went to the actual, as far as anyone can go. went right up to the line. The North Korean soldiers were like 1 meter away from me. There was just this line. This is between North and South Korea. So the South Korean soldiers were on this side of me. The North Korean soldiers were on that side. And I was standing right on the line. And both soldiers just glared at each other. Same people, but one's north and one's south. They hate each other. And one of the South Koreans thinking, oh, you don't know all the sense gratification we're having that you're missing. So just a little bit of variation in geography and your whole life would have been different. But then everywhere in this world has its problems periodically. Some are constant problems and some have periodic problems. It's like here in New Zealand, everything is always nice, right? No one ever thinks that the North and South Island were formed by, volcano eruptions? Something like that, huh? Is it? Yeah, no one thinks about that. That was thousands of years ago. It'll never happen again. We're safe with material nature. This world is not a nice place. You shouldn't make plans to stick around here. While you're here, live a balanced life in Krishna consciousness. Don't delay your Krishna consciousness for anything. Yes?
Can I ask you about describing that your butter leans is and that you look at?
Nitya Mukta. Although you can get a little technical and say it's like in a special category of Nitya Mukta, and that he was demonstrating sadhana siddhi, perfection by sadhana. But he himself tells Lord Nrsingadev, you sent me into this world to demonstrate the qualities of devotion. Though generally, you're quite all right to say Prahlad Maharaj is Nitya Mukta. There's always fine print, yeah. They always like to get into the fine print. Yes, right? Yeah. It's endless. There's endless transcendental spiritual minutiae, but at least grasp the general principles. That's enough to go back to Godhead. But they're always relishable little details. That's why Srila Prabhupada said, you can become spiritual master of the whole world just by knowing four books, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar Devotion. Yes? Where what comes from? Good fortune, contact with a devotee. contact with a devotee, knowingly or unknowingly, gives you a chance to serve Krishna. By serving Krishna, your desire develops. By people coming here and taking prasad, associating with devotees, even in a casual way, they start to develop a desire. The more service you can engage them in, the more desire they'll have. So, we're always thinking of ways how to engage people in Krishna's service. There's competition between the devotees and Maya. The Maya, the illusory energy, wants to engage people in the illusory service. We want to engage people in Krishna's service. So there's always competition. Like two businesses are competing. I was just thinking of anger, and I remember the famous example. Let me make my own cookies. Mahavan used to always make me cookies, and then Kadiravan started to. And it was kind of like a competition whose cookies were the best. So one day she was preparing cookies and Mahavan was just, you know, trying to give her some pointers, you know. And she's, let me make my own cookies. We were just discussing you, Mahavan. Cookie anger. Yeah. All right, that's enough. We'll have Prabhupada's Guru Puja and Kirtan. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Yeah.